Blog Talk Radio.
Viewer discretion is advised.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of Sports Underline on a Wednesday evening. Another beautiful day in the Motor City. I am your host, Devontae Little, and it is a pleasure once again to be here. Tonight's show, I'm on NBA. I want to talk NBA with you guys. Game 3 is tonight. Who do you got? Who do you think is going to win tonight? Conspiracy theories and all that stuff. I'll get into some baseball. I'll tune in to the Tigers game. Also, a fun little NBA question that we can, you know, have a little fun with. We're going to try to talk you into the game. Get you hyped up. Got to talk about a WNBA player as well. I will start with the NBA this time. No, yesterday I started with football. I'm not going to talk football today. So I don't want to get any phone calls on that. I want to talk about basketball. Pretty much the whole show. And if you need the number, 949-270-5945 is the number to call us. But game 3 is tonight. Must-win situation for the Cavs. Troy is here. Let's welcome Troy before we get started, actually. Hello. Hello, Troy. Welcome alongside on this Wednesday. Beautiful Wednesday that we're having, Troy. Isn't that right? Beautiful. It's a nice day. I'll take it. At the moment, I'm pretty excited because it is game 3 tonight. I think Cavs fans have no worries. Cavs should win tonight. Took the liberty to take the Cavs +7, bought me some points. Say why not +7. I think that's the easy route, good route for you bettors. Go ahead, put it down on that. This has been it was a good game 1, bad game 2. I'm hoping it's a good game tonight. I really do. Either way it goes, even if Cavs lose, I just hope that it is a good game. I am going to expect it to be a good one. I do not want to be disappointed at 11:30, 12 o'clock, how horrible of a game it was, and I wake up tomorrow and still upset that it was a bad game. And then got to get ready for game 4. And probably, you know, say that, okay, Cavs get swept, or here you go, Cavs, go up, tied up 2-2. What are you expecting this game, Troy? What do you guys expect as well, Carlos? What do you expect, Troy?
I'm expecting the Cavs to come out and defend home court. If they lose this game right here, it could be a repeat of last year, and that is not what I want to see. I'm pretty sure that's not what most Cavaliers fans or LeBron James would like to see either. With that being said, let's see what happens. I'm tempted not to watch game 4 if they lose game 3. I mean, I know I'm still going to watch, but I'm not going to like it.
So you're still watching. You're still watching, man. You want to see some history being made, you know? Yeah, I would assume that. History being made, you know, the LeBron James beating Golden State. I think Cavs win tonight. I think the bench players have to play better. We'll see Rodney Hood. We'll see if he. Usually, when you see a player come in, then you know they haven't played a lot in the playoffs. They usually go off, and then you know we're talking about what took them so long to do this and all this. We're usually praising the guy. That's usually the case. So, you know, I think Rodney Hood has himself a very good game. And it's going to take that. I mean, and you know, I can't say that he doesn't have help. He has a good team behind him. They're not all-stars, no. They're not what Golden State have. But, I mean, you look at the resume, they're still good players. Really good players. You know, like, I need Jordan Clarkson to play way better. You know, he needs to play regular season mode Clarkson because, I mean, he was averaging 12 and a half points a game. Ryan Miller was averaging 11. Jeff Green's averaging 11. It was working. it was working with this team. I was one of the guys that was very excited that they made the trades. I said they needed this. They needed to go young. Now it's just those guys that step up and play. They have the, they've started playing well when they made this trade. Have we not forgot? So before, you know, we go ahead and say that he doesn't have help, I think he has enough help for him to be the best player in the league. And with the cast he has, I think it is enough, I think, to get by. When you look at it, their first game, they played Boston, blew them out. They beat OKC. OKC was a bad team. No, they didn't lose to Washington. You know, I was in Washington, you know, it was doing good. This was, you know, after the All-Star weekend, whatever. You know, they're still learning. But they did get some good wins. I know they've had some bad losses, too, but they did get some good wins. They were able to beat Milwaukee. They were able to beat Toronto. You know, they were, you know, able to beat the Pelicans. I know those were home games. They beat Toronto again. They beat Washington at home. And they got some good wins, you know, with this team. Now they got to focus, get it together. You know, I can't say that LeBron has no help. This is good enough help to win if you're LeBron James. This is the best help probably he done had outside of having Wade and Bosh on this team. Because in 07, he had no help. I mean, none at all. At least he got Kevin Love to at least solidify, you know, at least some help.
I know that's all I've been hearing is LeBron James' teammates. This team is definitely better than one of the worst teams he had in 2007.
That was god awful.
To match up like they showed in game one and actually, you know, win this thing. But with that being said, it starts with LeBron James. And being his teammate is both a blessing and a curse. Yes, you get to play with one of the best players to ever play the game. Best player in basketball today, all around. That's the blessing. You don't have to wreck your brain about how you're going to defend him, how many points he's going to put up, sagging off on defense to double team while your man scores an open three or get an open bucket. It's a blessing, and it's also a curse for the simple fact of what's expected out of you to be playing alongside LeBron James. You figure you're going to get more opportunities, more open looks, and when you don't capitalize or you don't bring in the help that he needs after he's done his damage, then guess what? It's like you're under a magnifying glass and everybody's blaming you. Yes, LeBron James is going to get a lot of that backlash and criticism, but it's also going to be because of what? He doesn't have any help. And that's kind of a slap in the face being a teammate of LeBron James. It kind of sucks. Let me put it like this. It's good when you're winning because you're supposed to, but it's bad when you're losing because you're not helping. Sorry about that. Blow my nose real quick. Allergies. But with that being said, I think that these guys will show up and show out. And you have to give guys like Jordan Clarkson, Rodney Hood, Larry Nance the benefit of the doubt for the simple fact they're new. I mean, these guys did get acquired during the deadline. You know what I'm saying? It's not like they've been there all year and their chemistry's up to par. It's just like Kyle Korver. It was a learning curve his first year this year. You know what I'm saying? Even though his jumper is going flat in this series so far, he still had to, you know, come along and find his shot. We're thinking like, oh, my God. A lot of people just expect them to click and get along and, you know, right away as soon as they're acquired. But little do they realize, you know, it takes time. I don't care how special you are. You can add whoever you want, superstar, all-star, or just a regular role player. You know what I'm saying? They're going to have to take some time out to figure out how they're going to play and benefit off of each other. The people that he has there that should have no problems that he's been with for the past, what, 3 years now? You mentioned a former star in Kevin Love. J.R. Smith has been there long enough to be familiar. Tristan Thompson. And I think that's about it. Am I missing anybody? No, I don't think I'm missing anybody. I did leave George Hill out, though. You have to give these guys time. That's all I'm going to say. With that being said, these guys have played against LeBron, you know, Kyle Korver, George Hill. They may be familiar with his tendencies, but playing against someone and playing with them is totally different. And no, I'm not making excuses. I'm just, you know, stating facts that everybody knows, one-on-one, basically. But all I'm saying is the blame that they get when they lose, it's disrespectful to them, their craft, and the players, other players. Like, oh, my God, it's just so hard to play with LeBron James. I don't think it's that. It's just that they're put under a different magnifying glass. They're in a different light. It's like they're always on the big stage and things are expected out of them. And the expectations are set too high. Maybe some can play, can handle it, and some can't. You know what I'm saying? But with this being said, at least the players that LeBron James has been with, accustomed to, and knowing, like I said, J.R. Smith, Kevin Love, Tristan Thompson, you should know. You know what I'm saying? You guys should be ready, if anything. I think J.R. Smith has missed 14 of his last 19 shots. You know, Kyle Korver's only had 6 attempts this series, and he missed 5 of those 6. So it's like, these guys are kind of cold, you know what I'm saying? Kevin Love has done his damage, but it hasn't been enough. We need the same Kevin Love that we had in Toronto series to show up against Golden State, which is very possible, especially when Golden State is playing small. I don't know what lineup Kerr is going to come out with. Maybe he keeps JaVale McGee in the starting lineup or he gives Jordan Bell back a start. I don't know. But with that being said, I'm not going to blame LeBron James or LeBron James teammates. They have to, at the end of the day, you still have to play as a team. I think you guys had a great strategy and game plan in game one. It just slipped away because of a couple of miscues on both sides, actually, Golden State and Cleveland. And, you know what I'm saying, at least you showed that you are capable of playing on that level and catching these guys by surprise. With that being said, Golden State is not going to do you any favors. Like I said, they're not going to go cold. I don't believe so. I know they're just not going to do it like they just going to switch it on. Like, hey, we're just going to give you a game or give you the next 2 games. No, they're going to be here. They're going to compete tonight, and they expect to win just like you expect to win. But with that being said, these guys really just have to stick to the game plan. Like LeBron always says, he trusts his teammates. Help each other when you're down. Put each other on your back. Play lockdown defense. Do what you're supposed to do on offense. And that's all you can hope for. You know what I'm saying? But, yeah, I think it's a blessing and a curse to play with LeBron James. I would love to play with LeBron James, but getting blamed all the time or, you know what I'm saying, not doing what you think I'm supposed to do, it gets a little irritating. It goes from being nervous to being mad. Like, I don't know. Rodney Hood is expected to get more playing time. Like I told you yesterday, I'm not excited about that, you know, this, that, and third. You just have to see what happens. I hope the rotational changes that Tyronn Lue makes tonight, you know, incorporating certain players that can play with each other, being able to hold a lead, get LeBron some rest so he can come back in and try and dominate. I need J.R. Smith and the rest of these streaky shooters, besides Korver. I don't believe he's streaky, but the rest of these streaky shooters to at least hit half instead of missing them all. I mean, come on, 14 for 19 is just horrible. And I'm still waiting on a big game from J.R. Smith, like a 20-plus point game, you know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be feeling something. Some kind of way. I mean, this is the finals, your chance for a championship. So I got to see that starting tonight. Have to tie this series up at 2-2 going back to Golden State. You have to. There is no ifs, ands, or buts about it. I know we like to see history made. Of course, I would love to see LeBron James battle back from another deficit like he did when it was 3-1. But guess what? Different personnel, different timing, different greatness. He had Kyrie Irving back then. Kevin Love was there. I don't know. I was still waiting for Kevin Love to show up in the finals. But at least he had Kyrie Irving, somebody who wasn't afraid of the big crowd, the big moment, the stage. He took advantage of it, and, you know what I'm saying, out came 2016 championship. Him and LeBron. Need somebody to run alongside LeBron. And if it's not going to be Kevin Love, then who is?
I don't know. It's got to be Kevin Love on the other side.
All I have to say, is that, yes, we would love to see some great heroic story. Oh, my God, he brought him back from 3-1 or 0-3 or whatever. Like, look, that's a great headline, a great story, but I'd rather not be in the situation. You know what I'm saying? If we can win, let's win. I don't care how we win, by one, by two, just as long as we get that title.
Yeah, well, I'm going to hope that Cavs can win. They should win tonight. Like, this is where the house money moment is happening. Like, I would say put house money on the Cavs to win tonight. Do it. It's a little bit of money. Let's go ahead. Yeah, it's a little bit of winnings. Well, maybe not. Some people house monies. But I would say it. I don't get them wrong. So there you go. I think Cavs wins. House money. I believe it. When I say it, I believe it. I think they should definitely win. They can end the streak tonight of house money bets out of my mouth today. if they do not win. I think they win. It's going to be a hype game. Golden State ain't going to know what hit them tonight. And then, you know, maybe Golden State come out. Because, I mean, that big three, I know they got a big four in Draymond Green. But Steph, KD, and Klay, they are going to score. And that's the thing. You don't want to be you want to get up on them, but you don't want them to come back. Like, that was Houston's problem. They had them. And two opportunities to go to the NBA Finals, they had. And, you know, even going into the second half, they just didn't let it go. They didn't fire like they were doing in the first half. The Cavs, at least, have played well in the third quarter. They've played pretty good in the third quarter. Knowing that's Golden State's quarter, they matched their intensity. But, unfortunately, they did not have good first halves. Well, maybe that better first half in game one, yeah. But outside of that, like game two, they didn't have a good game. And, it probably was because of the game one blunder. But, you know, we'll see. Because Golden State have that three. Those three guys who can really light it up any time. And Steph Curry is just being so aggressive. I want to see how aggressive he can be in game three on the road. That's what I want to see. Will Sean Livingston stay 100%? No, he will not. If he does, it's still remarkable. I would love it. And, you know, those three are shooting very well from the floor, too. 55% from Klay Thompson, 50% from KD. You know, Steph is 44%. You know, it's lower than theirs, but he's 50% from downtown. So, you know, that's pretty much most of it. He's missing some easy ones. So, you know, he's knocking down a three. But Draymond's shooting 53%. Jordan Bell, these guys are not shooting a lot like those guys, but they get good shots. And that's what Cleveland has to stop them from doing, getting good shots, because that's what Golden State has done these first two games. They have to stop that. A lot of easy baskets. That's how Golden State's going to win. That's how a lot of teams will win anyway. Easy shots, easy baskets, they're going to win. 9 times out of 10, they're going to win. Easy shots, easy baskets. They're going back and forth. Maybe that's probably the only reason why they do not win. But Cavaliers just got some things to do. You know, since I won't be here tomorrow, you know, Troy gets the leverage of talking game three tomorrow. And, you know, I will get my 2 cents in on Friday, you know, going into game four. So, you know, I just hope everything goes right. Goes smooth tonight. I really do. I'm interested in Kendrick Perkins and Steph Curry. Because, you know, I just happened to see this on, and, you know, I was like, Kendrick Perkins, why you always got to do something? Why? You just chill on the bench, you know. Because I think he even woke up Steph Curry. Because that was after that. Steph Curry just went crazy, Troy. He went too crazy. Hitting threes left and right. It's like, okay, you know what? I'm just going to keep knocking them down. Get up, Perk. Even though you ain't guarding me, but get up. You know, I'm glad Perkins ain't out there. It would have been the barbecue chicken for the little guy. That's what it would have been, Troy. Just flat out barbecue chicken.
It's not hard to see who Kendrick Perkins is. Not quick enough. He may be stronger, but he's not quick enough. He's going to get chopped up. He's either going to get a three in his mouth or foul him, give him an and-one, three-point play. Just let him hit the bucket and get trash talked to because he has no business out there on the court. Really don't know why the Cavs even wasted a roster spot on signing Kendrick Perkins, but maybe to be another coach on the sideline, I guess. You know what I'm saying? Try to hype him up. Only thing Kendrick Perkins is good for at this point on this Cavaliers roster is to come in and give 6 hard fouls. That's about it. Get under somebody.
And complain after every foul. That is the funniest thing to me. Every time Kendrick Perkins gets called for a foul, boom, he complains.
Only thing he can do is foul at this moment in his career. He's old, you know what I'm saying? He's not Kendrick Perkins that was with the Boston Celtics, a defensive president. He's not the Kendrick Perkins that shaped up and went to OKC. He's the Kendrick Perkins that was on the Cavaliers, when they lost in 2015 or 2015 that didn't play, he's that same Kendrick Perkins. With that being said, the only thing he can do is give you, what, two flagrants or a flagrant foul, flagrant one, flagrant two, maybe a hard foul to get under somebody's skin or possibly injure somebody, as sad as that sounds. But he's just on the roster for no reason. Like, that story is completely oblivious to me. I don't want to talk about it. I really don't want to hear it. When I see Steph Curry and Kendrick Perkins going at it, it's the same thing when I heard Kendrick Perkins and Drake going at it. Like, okay, who the hell cares? It's Kendrick Perkins. Whoever you're talking to probably should even respond or be talking to you. I get why it's a big deal, you know, landing on somebody's feet. It could cause injury. You know, the injury history of Stephen Curry with his ankles and his leg, or at least one of his legs, and then he coming off an injury, coming back into the playoffs this year, I can see why it can be a bit concerning. But, hey, it is what it is, man. He didn't get injured. Kendrick Perkins has to be the tough guy, one of those fake tough guys of the league, unless he's actually going to get in the game and put hands on you. But, man, I don't know what you want me to say about that. Like, I really don't care. People actually asked me about that today at work. Oh, Perk back into it again with somebody. First it was Drake. Then it was Marcus Morris. Now it's Stephen Curry. Like, I don't care. Like, please, like, if we're not talking about the game, if we're not talking about stats, opinions on upcoming game plans for both sides, please do not bother me with that rah-rah bullshit.
I really want to know how in the world he made it to the league out of high school. I need to see some high school tape or something.
A big, rough, defensive player, athletic enough to get garbage baskets in his prime.
Maybe I can't hate on Kendrick Perkins, because you know what? He got a championship in Boston. He was a big presence for Boston. You know, I know the big three, big time help. But Kendrick Perkins was an important piece too. Just a very good defensive minded team. So I mean, but I'm trying to figure out how he got drafted in the first round. And I don't know what Memphis was thinking when they drafted him. I know he
is that the guy was a brute, something that somebody thought they could change or mold or use him to his advantage. Like you said, he's a champion. And back in that time when the Boston Celtics and the Fifth was making their run, we wasn't used to this style of era that we have today with the 3-point shot. A lot of teams were driving, mid-range game, threes was basically for shooters only back then. A lot of guys hitting a lot of mid-range, posting up, going to the rack, and that's when he could do damage, his physical presence, his strength. Not the tallest guy, maybe can get a block or two, you know, down there under the rim, like I said, get an alley-oop ball, garbage basket. He did his job well, and that's all I can say. In this era today, go ahead and put him on that court if you want to and see what happens. You think it's bad the way Golden State blow people up now? Wait till they abuse and use Kendrick Perkins if he ever touches floor. Which he's not.
And the only thing
that you said out of this conversation that may have, like, interested me or made me raise my eyebrows is the fact that you said he woke Stephen Curry up. The fact that Stephen Curry is even bothered or appalled by it, like I said, I can understand not wanting to be injured or a respect thing. And at the end of the day, the NBA is a brotherhood. We look out for each other, even though we compete against each other. Trash, at the end of the day, it's still all love. It's a game. I can understand that, but at the same time, that's the only thing that piqued my interest. You know, when you get under the player's skin, it's only two things that can happen. One, they're going to use it to their advantage, and they're going to go off, whether it's for the rest of that night or the rest of this series, speaking on the playoffs. Or two, it can get under their skin and throw them off their game. Don't really know what Perkins is trying to do, but maybe we'll get one of those. But I highly doubt it's going to throw Stephen Curry off his game, especially when they're up 2-0.
Yeah, I don't think Perkins would do anything. He's just there. He's just really just chilling, honestly, for real. Because, I mean, what more do he have to do? He ain't got to do nothing. He made it to the NBA, got drafted first round out of high school. I need to really see some high school tape. Like, I really want somebody to just send me a link or something, show me something. They ain't got nothing, then, okay, let me know something. But, I mean, this is outrageous. Just him going in the first round out of high school. You know, the same year LeBron James and them came. I mean, that'd be like, I would have felt better if Pistons drafted Kendrick Perkins than Darko. Probably. Who knows? I don't know. If it was some tape that was out there, yeah. But, I mean, Kendrick ain't doing nothing. So, He's just out there just being a crazy guy, having his teammates back. You know, he loves LeBron James. You know, he thinks
right
LeBron's
place.
The best player in the world, so.
He's in the right place at the right time. What's more fascinating is that we are still talking about Kendrick Perkins.
Yeah, it's crazy. But I want to focus on NBA draft real quick because there's some names I like. You know, like Grayson Allen. I don't know, Troy, I know you. I don't know. I think you do like Grayson Allen. I can't remember if you do.
I'm not going to say that I dislike him. I mean, the incidents that he's been in over a couple of years or just this year alone is ridiculous. But nevertheless, he plays for one of my schools, so hey. And he actually has talent. I mean, if you look past all the BS that he goes through, he's a good player, a good kid, I believe. So he'll thrive in his league on the right team, you know what I'm saying? Coming out of that program, what's not to like about him besides the unpredictable BS you might deal with? I don't think that would be a reoccurring thing, especially coming into the pros. That's just not a good look. I mean, he's not the Johnny Manziel of basketball. I've actually heard somebody say that, and that's just ridiculous. Okay.
Yeah, that's crazy. But I do like Grayson Allen. You know, he wasn't the main reason why Duke won his freshman year. Of course, Grayson Allen wasn't getting as much PT. Shouts out to Quinn Cook, who is a member of the Golden State Warriors right now, who was a big part. And Jahlil Okafor was probably the best player. Justice Winslow as well. Tyson was a very good team on that team. But, you know, Grayson Allen being under Coach K, that is very good. If you put in the right situation, I think he could be something special. I've seen that the Utah Jazz really likes him. He had a good workout. So if he is available, which I'm pretty sure he probably will be, Utah will go ahead and grab him. And I think that's a good addition to the team of the Utah Jazz. They'll probably do some free agency as well, maybe, unless they really like this team. But this is just a precaution area, you know, especially if Rubio goes down again. You know, something happens to Donovan Mitchell or something. You know, you're just ready. I know Grayson Allen isn't that type of player to go, you know, he has the ball in his hand. He can score. He can make teammates better. He can hit the big shot. He is a guy that had 5 assists last year in the senior year. A very good, talented team at Duke, but, of course, Kansas won with a very surprising way, even though they did get blown out by Villanova. But, you know, I was just very surprised that Kansas won. But, you know, that's a different discussion for a different day. I like Grayson Hill. I think he fits well with Utah. Put him on the right team, though. You know, he'll be good. I don't want to be on the, you know, Sacramento Kings or something like that, even though it would be great to back up De'Aaron Fox. Now, Grayson is not going to be the guy, you know, who's going to be starting. I think he's a guy that you can have him come off the bench, you know, with a championship-minded team, and he'd be huge. Be huge, come off the bench, make big shots, have him in, final seconds of the games, things like that. That's what I like about Grayson Allen. He'd be available for that. So, like I said, I just can't wait for the NBA draft. I want to look at Robert Williams, too. That's who I had on here from let me see, Texas A&M. I can't remember this, and I'm not sure because I like this kid. I believe it's Texas A&M. And I'm killing myself because I'm being retarded. I know it's Texas A&M. But what Texas A&M did go through, they made the tournament. Unfortunately, they played Michigan, Troy. They did beat North Carolina. Good win. Now, Robert Williams, he was not the best player on the team, but, you know, he's a guy, energy guy, 6'9". You know, he's a power forward, to say, you know, the least. He can get you some energy rebounds. He's going to play big. You know, he's 237 pounds, though. I mean, he's still, you know, he's not, you know, a big, big power forward type guy like, you know, Tyler Davis was on that team, who was 265 in weight. But what Robert Williams would give you is just some good energy. You know, I can't say that he's not going to do that. He had a very good energetic game against – an efficient game against Michigan in the loss. I know it was just 12 points he had, but it was an efficient game. It was 6 for 8. You know, I take it.
You know, he's not the number one option. He wasn't the number one option on Texas A&M, like I said. So, you know, for him to even be in discussion to be a lottery pick or, you know, definitely a first-round pick, I think that is a lot of upside for him, for a guy who was not even the number one option. You know, if you put him on a good team as well, he'll come in and do his job. I think Robert Williams will come in and really be in some good company, be on a good team, have a shot to, you know, probably win. You know, I'm hoping so.
Well, yeah, he fits in that category of players for young guys to come out of the draft and fit into a system for, you know, a good roster, a rebuilding team, maybe a championship contender, possibly. But, yeah, he fits the list perfectly. It sucks that he met Michigan in the tournament, first round or whatever, and that maybe stunted what other people really could see out of this kid. But at the same time, you know, this is what the big stage is for. Of course, he's going to get drafted, and he'll get his chance to show what he's able to do, depending on no matter what team, as I should say, he ends up on.
And according to mock drafts, I've seen the Clippers having a shot at Robert Williams. I think that would be good, you know, where you're lacking.
It is confirmed. I said breaking news for you. It is confirmed that Andre Iguodala will be participating and playing in Game 3. Not starting, of course, and of course he will be on a minute restriction as to keep the injuries. I want him getting a setback or re-injury that knee that has the Golden State Warriors organization and his teammates so concerned. I believe that he's going to be useful in this series with Iggy. He is one of those players that you can throw at LeBron James, probably one of the best players on the team besides Kevin Durant that could guard him. Not throwing shade at Draymond Green. I just feel like he wouldn't be enough. But having Iguodala back is going to be a spark for this team, and hopefully he plays well. With that being said, minute restriction was predictable. You can see it from a mile away, and I know Steve Kerr and the rest of his teammates are happy to have him back on the roster actively, finally.
Yes, yeah, it's good for Golden State. They should be excited. I don't expect a lot from Iggy tonight. Get his feet wet on the floor. We'll see how he does. I would expect them to do better in game four, or, you know, maybe the Cavs do win these two games, and then it's going to come down to Iggy. Okay, Iggy, we're going to really, really need you for game five, depending, because, you know, LeBron probably have a monstrous game. So it's going to be, you know, pretty much up to that. But all eyes will be on him for me, because I just want to see how he plays out there. It's been a while since he played, so I want to see if he
And Clay still a little hobbled. I think the Cavaliers still have a good chance to strike. But you still have to survive the third quarter with the Golden State Warriors. And, of course, this big four and the small lineup play with so much. Once again, I believe this doesn't just fall on LeBron James and his teammates, but also, and more importantly, Tyronn Lue, his coaching ability. Is he really going to be out-coached this series? I don't think it was you that said it. Maybe Mike that said Ty Lue is probably would be in an underdog position coaching against anybody in the playoffs this year, not named Dwayne Casey, for the simple fact that the Raptors are just dodo birds when it comes to playing a LeBron James team. And you, on the other hand, said Dwayne Casey just doesn't coach in the postseason. So, hey. Which sucks for us because they narrowed it down to him being a front runner to land the Pistons job. I know you heard with John Stang, yeah, with you offered a new contract, but they still are going to interview your boy, assistant coach. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name, but you know who I'm talking with. Yeah, well, if he gets signed or he gets a job, that's when I'll learn how to pronounce his name. But right now, it looks like Dwayne Casey is a front runner. But with that being said, there you go.
Yeah. If you guys don't know, Beeline signed his extension. I'm happy for him. I don't want him to coach here. He's an old guy. Why not just be happy in Michigan? You don't want to be here yet. You're 75 years old, man. Stay happy over there in Michigan. you're going to be good in basketball again. You're going to make the tournament. You're going to probably make 316 at least. And, boom. You know, I get you that prediction when we get to next year. I told you, Dwayne Casey, I don't think he should want this job. You know, because he can get another coaching job elsewhere, even if he got to take a year off. He can get himself a better coaching job than this. He can go to anybody else who wants to coach this team. We don't even know what's going to happen. We don't have a GM. I mean, how do we know? How do we know what's the plan here said in the next couple of years? I don't even know. They might not even be rebuilding, and they should be the next couple of years. I mean, they could have been straight now, but
it's really weird for the simple fact that I thought they would have chosen a GM before, you know, they got their head coach. But I'm curious to see who's going to get this spot. Like, I truly am.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, maybe that's still intact. You know, maybe we'll figure something out. I don't know. It's been, 30 days since we done fired GM and a coach. Well, fired Stan Vince. Yeah, GM and a coach. So, come on, let's do something, Detroit. Let's do something right here. Please. Now, back to the draft. I'm looking at the mock draft here. Right now, I see Trae Young getting drafted at number 3 by the Hawks. That would be very interesting. Your Cavs getting Sexton, Troy, so. I would like that too.
It's Trae Young. Simple fact, LeBron likes him. I would be happy with either or. I didn't see a guard going that quickly, though. Maybe not in the top 5. But who knows? Maybe that's what they think. Especially the Hawks, for the simple fact they have Schroeder, but him in his recent press conference, maybe not wanting to be there. But he could be dope. But with that being said, yeah, he could fall there at number 3. But who knows? Hopefully I see a lot of trades, a lot of teams trading up, and some big moves for some of these teams trying to win big in the draft.
Yeah, and Ayton said he's not going to be working out for anybody else. He's just going to be like, okay, I'm going to be number 1 pick by the Phoenix Suns, which I think he should be. I think he will be. And speaking of Phoenix Suns, my boy Josh Jackson cut his hair. I didn't see it. I just got an update before the show. But anyway, Elfrid Payton did too. So that's great. I mean, Josh Jackson, I like the look on him. But Elfrid Payton just looked like a lot of happy stuff. So next year is going to be an interesting year for Phoenix Suns. We talk about you know, who's going to be their point guard? They'd probably be like, okay, Brandon Knight, we're going to try you out again. Hopefully you stay healthy because, I mean, they're paying this guy a lot of money. This is where the value could go up for the Suns, where it can be like, okay, we can give up Brandon Knight. He had himself a good year. We give him up going into his last year. He'd be 27, 28, whatever. Pretty much next year is just the big year. Like, because you're going to have to pay Devin Booker. You're going to have to give him some money. This is the year Devin Booker can have a great year. They're going to figure out what they're going to do with Josh Jackson because it's a team option after next season. And, you know, even Bender, Marquise Chris, Tyler Ulis, these are all good players. Like, T.J. Warren is who you got. And it's like, okay, T.J. Warren has been pretty good, and he's about to get paid. And he's played some good basketball. I'll give him that. So the Suns is very interesting, especially if they get Ayton, because, you know, this Tyson Chandler's last year, you can just get rid of Tyson Chandler if you really believe in him. You got Alex Len, so you can pretty much just – you can have some type of young team. Josh Jackson's 21, Ayton would be 19, 20 years old, T.J. Warren's 24. I mean, this is a young team that they can really be good. You know, where they can be like, okay, no one's talking about us, but here we go. Devin Booker's 21. So this team is going to be interesting, Phoenix Suns. I hope they get 8. I think that'll be That'd be very fun to watch. I think I would want to see them play the Pistons. I think I would want to go to LCA to watch Phoenix Suns next year. I think I would really love to see that.
Get free agency as well for this Phoenix Suns team. I believe they are going to test the waters and see what is out there. Maybe think about moving a couple of those pieces. But it is a nice, young, exciting team. And by moving pieces, I'm speaking of their bigs. I have not been impressed by their bigs at all.
And Sacramento, they're going to get a big man. They're going to get Bamba, or they're going to get Aiden, depending on what Phoenix does. And, you know, I think it's good for them. Because also, they're interesting, too. Because, I mean, they've got VC and Z-Bo. VC, he's a free agent now. Shumpert's in a player option, so he could choose to leave. Garrett Temple, you know. Now they're going to figure out, okay, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, what we're going to do with them. Justin Jackson, Harry Giles, LeBCA, they probably let him walk after next year, especially if Bamba has a good year. They're an interesting team. Because they're gonna build around De'Aaron Fox. Because Z-Bo next year is his last year, probably just in the NBA in general. So and they do got Willie Cauley-Stein. So they're interesting too. They're a team that you gotta pretty much think about. Okay, what are we going to do? In the start of the season, I mean, what are we gonna do with our roster? What are we gonna do for the future? They're interesting. We don't know. We don't know anything. And then you mentioned the Hawks and Trae Young. That would be interesting because Dennis Schroeder, I mean, you just gave him some money. He's getting $15.5 million a year. So he's getting paid. And what team's going to want that contract? What team really wants it?
Charlotte, nobody. Same team that's going to want Brandon Knight. With these are a lot of gross contracts, so you got to kind of like ride with them and try to build around them. Or use them as a key piece to build around your next franchise players. But with that being said, these contracts have to be reconstructed, which is not going to happen.
Of course.
Teams have to be willing to take on a big contract with maybe a kick-in, like some future draft picks. Or maybe the guy just fits the bill of what they're looking for and they're going to give him a chance. But like I said, it's highly unlikely that happens. So a lot of these players are stuck here. Unless you're like an all-star or superstar and they're just willing to go all in because they think they can contend this year. But with that being said, I don't know. Like, I think the Pistons have a lot of gross contracts. There's a lot of the teams out there, I believe, that has gross contracts and overplayed players. Not to say that these guys are just not good. It's either that they were good where they were, and when they came here, they're not the same. I know you hear a lot of players, once they get the big paycheck or the money, they just stop playing and don't care anymore. That could be the case. Or a player could just be injury prone and have a string of bad luck going right now and just waiting to play a full healthy year. I think one of the most noticeable contracts that didn't look gross at first because you were so happy with his production and what he could be was Hassan Whiteside this year. This probably was, I know he was injury riddled, but this probably was one of his worst years. I hated it. And of course, he got the bag once D-Wade and a couple of others left. But hey. It just is what it is. Pistons have a $70 million contract with John Lord. He shattered his ankle, didn't play a game. Draymond Green, you just picked up another big contract from Blake Griffin and gave our draft pick away. Reggie Jackson had, what, $80 million, $10 million extension or something? $80 million? Like, a lot of teams, you can point out and look at these gross contracts, and it's going to be harder because once you draft these guys, especially these franchise guys, in a couple of years, 2, 3, maybe 4 years, you're going to have to start paying these guys and making some tough decisions. Maybe you better hope those contracts run out. We talked about DeAndre Jordan yesterday with his huge contract, and you said the Clippers could let him walk and not feel any backlash. I agree with it for the simple fact DeAndre Jordan, like you said, is not a DeMarcus Cousins, especially at his age now. And he's not kicking out the type of production you would need on that team to actually contend moving forward. Maybe if he went to a contender, or if the Cavs would have traded for him, he would be in a much better spot. Probably still getting taken advantage of by the Golden State. Maybe not, depending on how Ty Lue would have used him. But with that being said, it's just funny to see how everything plays out. And this is why I love free agency. You talk about the Charlotte team, who had their whole starting five on the trading block, Devontae. And I didn't think any of those guys were bad players. Two were injury prone, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, Charlotte was a good team and should have been in the playoffs this year. Actually, one of your teams. They got boy Malik Monk, you know what I'm saying? Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is finally healthy for a season. You know, I thought they had it in them, you know. They let Bellinelli go for whatever reason. He's with the 76ers now. And boy, did they come up. So, hey, and who would have thought that Quinn Cook, you mentioned this earlier, Quinn Cook coming from Duke would have been the main attraction being on the Golden State Warriors over Jahlil Okafor, who basically didn't fit what 76ers was looking for and ended up trading him. Justice Winslow, who just like Stanley Johnson had high expectations and is still late blooming. I say he's a little ahead of what Stanley is right now, and that's because of different coaching styles. And, you know, that's just crazy.
Yeah, this is a little crazy, man. I love what Quinn Cook has been able to do for this team, too, coming in and starting, getting you some points. You know, he's had to fill Steph Curry's shoes, but he's a champion. He's a college, he's an NCAA champion. And I tell you that it translates. I do believe that. Translates. Either you was bad and you get good, or, you know, you just wasn't clutch enough. I've talked about it in many situations. But I want to have fun with this topic right here about what NBA player would you rather have seen go injury-free. It's a little tough for me, but I'll probably stay as a homer and go Grant Hill, because Grant Hill is just such a big talent. And, you know, it's a lot of guys. You know, I feel that way. People probably say Brandon Roy, and people probably, you know, Penny. You know, so Troy, who do you think? I know. What do you think? Like, who? What player would you have not wanted to see get hurt ever? Like, in his career, just, you know, went into shambles after that.
Well, just to be perfectly honest, I don't want anybody to do that. I don't care if you're a star or, you know. But of course, I don't want to see LeBron James do it. You know,
I'm saying, like, who has been injured already. Like, it's not a player that has not been injured. It's a player that has been injured that you did not want to see get hurt.
Oh, man.
Like, you want to see him really have a career where, you know, his injury didn't mess it up. Like, I said Grant Hill.
My list, you can take it back that far. You know, Grant Hill does obviously have to be on your top 10 list. But I'm going to go a little bit into the future, more recent. Not too recent, but Brandon Roy is, like, number one on my list. I hate, absolutely hate the reason he had to retire. Those knees would not just hold up because he was a beast.
Man, what?
Jesus Christ. Oh, my God. Brandon Roy.
Oh, this hurts.
Be one. Grant Hill would be another. T-Mac had his string of injuries that just wasn't
right.
Good for his career. Derrick Rose, obviously, he's never the same after those injuries. I'm playing good, though, with the T-Wolves, or at least what I saw in the playoffs. He actually was playing good with the Cavaliers before the awkward land on his ankle and then him stepping away from the team to get married or handle family business, whatsoever. But he's not the same Derrick Rose. Don't mistake me. He is not 2011 MVP Derrick Rose. But Brandon Roy, Grant Hill, T-Mac, Derrick Rose, trying to think. There's about two more on my list. Sean Livingston, the Miracle Kid. I hated that injury. I hated to watch that. But he's a champion. He's back. He's doing what he's supposed to do, especially on that roster. Another player I didn't want to see. I probably could go all day about players, you know what I'm saying, that just wasn't the same on the injuries and that I hated to see get injured. I don't want it for anybody, though. You know, every player
you know,
played their injury in my head, and that sucks. Jesus Christ, that sucks.
It does, man. Like, Brandon Roy was just so good. Like, he was so good in college, and I loved him. Like, you know, I'm a teenager, you know. I just happened to look at this, you know. I look at SportsCenter, see these guys, you know. Him and Nate Robinson being on the same team was just phenomenal. You know, outside of his senior year, you know, Nate Robinson's already in the league, rookie year. But senior year, you know, he had to play a very good UConn team. I mean, I'm talking Rudy Gay's on the team. Hilton Armstrong's good. Marcus Williams, Josh Boone. I mean, they have some good players on the team. I mean, they didn't translate to big time. NBA, and I know that UConn did lose an Elite Eight to, I believe it was George Mason. I think that was the year. How far did George Mason go? Because they were one of those teams, you know, you was like, man, they could do this. They were the team that beat Michigan State. I know you probably remember that, Troy. When they beat Michigan State in the first round, there was 11 seed.
You know what?
Yeah. It was amazing. Then they beat North Carolina. They beat Wichita.
But them losses hurt. That's a tough memory.
Yeah, I know. That's what made me really, really watch Brandon Roy and just the whole college, because, you know, I just watched Michigan State and Michigan because I was just from Michigan. I just wanted to watch them.
Sure.
Then I was like, George Mason.
You know what I'm saying? I think everybody who's listening, everybody who's a fan of sports can relate to that. Your favorite team gets beaten and this one player or specific player just stands out to you. The first time for me was probably LeBron James coming out of Vincent St. Mary's. I think it was his rookie year. He put up, you know what I'm saying, some pretty good rookie stats. And then we was talking about Danny Taurasi yesterday, the Mercury and the shot. It's happened a couple times, you know what I'm saying? There's some players on opposing teams that's made me a fan or just made me tune in to watch like I had to see. It was must-see TV. So, you know, Kobe Bryant, man, it's amazing.
Yeah, it was just great, and great moments, man. In the mid-2000s, it was great college. You know, you seen George Mason, they had to play Florida. Now, I don't know if people thought Florida was going to lose to them. You know, that was when Florida won easy money for Florida. But they blew them out. They were really blowing out everybody, it seemed like, in the tournament. And they had faced the Jordan Farmars and a fly low when they play UCLA. Joe Farmer is very aggressive, but Noah and Horford, they was just a 1-2 punch. Corey Brewer was just the main guy. This was the championship game, by the way. And George Mason was so close to having to face UCLA. Maybe not that close, but for the most part, you know, Florida handled business. Georgetown had the best chance to beat Florida in the Sweet 16, but Florida stayed on their P's and Q's with Roy Hibbert and Jeff Green on the team at Georgetown. And that was the moment where it was like Georgetown's going to win. But
when you get a chance, though, Devontae,
yeah,
you get to watch your favorite player get clowned by the Dubs. Go ahead and watch Jordan Bell and JaVale McGee do their Kendrick Perkins and Steph skit. I think you'll find it hilarious.
Oh, man, I do have to get a hold of that video. I think that'll be fun to watch. Yeah, why not? Real quick, this time is going by very fast right now. Baseball. I gotta get to baseball. I've had a lot of fun basketball. You know, I always do. There has been instant offense from last time I just checked the scores about 10 minutes ago. The Dodgers, they just put up 4 runs on top of what the Pirates just did on the 4 runs, your Pirates. It's very interesting that the Dodgers are at 500 right now. I don't know how to feel about that, because they've been
Let me ask you this. Even going about them Dodgers, man, because you know I got a love-hate relationship with the Los Angeles Dodgers. You saying that it's actually unbelievable they're at 500 right now, is that because you know that they should be better or that the team should be performing
should
like this? This is one of their worst teams. When you say that, it's like a 50-50 to go up or down with them. I mean, it's like that for everybody who's, especially Dodgers fans. Like, where are you coming at with this angle? It's surprising because of...
Well, Kershaw, being on his second 10-day is tough. They don't have their best hitter this year. He's out for the year. And it's like Cody Bellinger, he's not hitting the ball well. Matt Kemp is pretty much your offense. Jock Peterson is good to see him. Yasiel Puig is a no-show, even though it seems like he's getting his bat a little bit, trying to raise that average up. But that's you know, that's how they're winning now. But they have some key – they're missing some key players. You know, I talked about Hyunjin Ryu. Rich Hill is out. Kershaw is out. Maeda's out. These are your starting pitchers.
that you're missing, but the other guys are stepping up right now. And that's what you, want to see. They're missing a lot of guys. But with Walker Buehler, he's been pitching well. That's good that he has stepped up. Because Alex Wood, I don't know what happened to Alex Wood. But that's pretty much your pitching staff. And Stripling is pitching well, too. I even forgot about Stripling. I like Stripling, or Ross Stripling. So this next man up for this team, which is why I'm surprised. Because if you was to go ahead and tell me, oh, they're going to come back and, you know, going through with these injuries, I wouldn't have believed you. Now it's like, okay, the Rockies got to get their act together. The Diamondbacks are starting to win now. Diamondbacks are getting that push. They're playing offensively. The Rockies are still a little iffy to me, but the Rockies are still that scary team to me in that division. And the Giants are 30-31. How about the Padres 28-30? This division is just, it's very close right now. This division right here. And people is not taking account of the Padres and how good the Padres are playing right now. They're the best team of the last team in the East Division. They're the best team. 28-35. Next is the Rangers, 26-37. But, you know, the Padres are playing better than I thought. You know, I did figure, okay, they got Hosmer. Maybe they get a few more wins. But you know what? They're going to believe that they can win. They're actually an exciting offense to watch, too. But the Giants, I would still, if you were to tell me to pick a team, I would say the Giants would win this division because of this is a good lineup. I think this lineup is very good. I've paid some close attention to them. And, you know, Rockies, Troy, you can make it to the Rockies, too. I know that's your team. You can make a case. If you want to still make a case on the Dodgers, go right ahead. But I'll tell you, there's something about the Giants that I do like. And they got Bumgarner back. I know he gave a lot of hits. He didn't give up runs. Probably gave a couple or whatever yesterday, but you'll take it. But they're gonna need Cueto back. Giants will need Cueto if they're gonna even have a chance to win when we get to August and September. So that's just a little bit here. Now I want to, Troy. How do you beat Max Scherzer, man? How can you do it? I don't think I have an answer. I don't think anybody has an answer.
One of my favorite pitchers, at least when he was here in Detroit. Now, all shouts out to Matt Scherzer, though. The man's a beast. How do you beat the two-eyed demon, I like to call him? It's very hard. When he's hot, he's hot. Not hot, he's still a problem. asking, I don't know what you want me to say here. The dude is just hot. I mean, it's not like you can set up a game plan like, okay, well, the O-line for the Lions is horrible. We're going to rush every time, force Matthew Stafford to throw a bad pass. Or we're going to double-team LeBron James and make his teammates be. It's not like you come out there with a game plan against him. What are you going to do? Okay, we're going to bunt everything. Like, I don't know how you want me to. You just have to. He has to have an off day, and your bat has to be hot.
I don't even see it. Like I remember, I believe he was playing the Dodgers, and or maybe it was something. Maybe it was the other way around. I don't think it was Kershaw and Scherzer in the matchup, and Nationals offense really took advantage of Kershaw, and then that Scherzer comes in and he's well and good. So if this offense get him some scoring, get him some run support in the first inning. Good luck. But I've seen it was a start. I can't remember what game it was, but the first inning, they went right at Max Scherzer. And then next thing you know, Max Scherzer was like, oh, really? Oh, y'all think y'all going to win? And he just went willing and dealing. Like, it's crazy how many strikeouts he has.
Maybe bat flip him or something like that. I don't know. But it's, like I said, you have no game plan for this. You just better swing for the fences, man.
This is where if Strasburg can pitch like I know he can, like he's having a good year, Strasburg. I know he's 6-5, but I don't look at records. I look at ERA. It's at 3.20. This starting rotation is very good in the ERA department. I'm not concerned about that. I'm more concerned on the national side. I'm more concerned about the offense because it comes and goes. Like they hit well today. This is the offense that you expect to see every day because you have Trey Turner and Anthony Rendon. I think Michael Taylor's good. But their other averages are down. Like Bryce Harper averages down. Can he win an MVP with his average like this? I don't think so. But he might get it anyway because of his power numbers. His average is at 227. It's not good. But his home runs, 18 home runs. You know, you will take it. But he still needs to get the average up. This is where, you know, unfortunately, Howie Kendrick's out. Unfortunately, Ryan Zimmerman's out. And Ryan Zimmerman, he was the guy that got, you know, the base hits last year, yeah, I remember. But this is where Nationals might not look good. And the Braves will hold on to this. Now, the Nationals are winning off pitching. And they're doing what the Cubs had to do. Went off pitching. Because, I mean, you look at the Cubs' offense. It's really good. Cubs' offense look good on paper. Like, really good. Like, I would take that offense over the Nationals' offense. And they have Bryce Harper. Like, you're talking about Anthony Rizzo. And Chris Bryant. Javi Baez. Jackson Contreras, the young catcher. Jason Hayward, the veteran. I mean, you got some good players. Ian Happ, the switch hitter. Plays center field. You have that. You have that luxury. Like, the Nationals, they don't have Adam Eaton. And that's where you lose me on that. But, hey, they're 34-25. The Phillies and the Braves, they just got to keep playing well if they're going to have a shot at winning this division. I still like the Braves. But it's a tight one, Troy. That is a tight one. The Braves, they're still – I don't know if you – have you watched the Braves yet? I know I told you you need to watch them.
I catch them anytime Pops gets them. He would call me and let me know that the Braves are playing. I'll come on down and watch it with them or whatever, but – hey, man, I'm just not buying into the hype. You tried to get me to watch the Jets. I said I'd give them a shot. I'm not ready to buy into the Braves yet.
Well, you should. But I think if you were to give me a team in the National League who I think will come out and go to the World Series, I'll put money on the Cubs. I'm close to saying house money, but I'll put money on the Cubs to come out. And it will be tough because – they could miss out on the wild card. Milwaukee's playing good baseball, and that's pretty much expected, but they can't beat the division for some reason. And you got to respect the Cardinals, who is playing good baseball. Like, I think the Cubs win the division, though. And they could run into the Braves in the NL championship game. So, series and whatever you want to call it. I do believe that. And I'm still going to believe in Houston. So I would think we'd see Houston and Chicago. That's my matchup right now. That's what I'm saying. Houston, Astros, Chicago Cubs. I would love it. I would love to see that Houston rotation. I'd love to see JV against the Cubs. That would be just house money. That'd be a great October, Troy. You're midway through the NFL season and you got JV and the Astros and you got the veteran pitching of the Cubs.
All I'm going to say is watch out for your Yankees, and that's as much as I'm going to say about that.
I don't know. They get a little shaky. I don't know if I can trust them going into the postseason. I don't know if I can trust Boston, but Boston's very interesting. I know they're playing the Tigers, but this is an interesting because Benintendi, he's the leadoff guy, and Benintendi has been playing very well, and it's tough. When you go through, okay, maybe the first six guys are going through an at-bat in the first inning. And then you're looking at, if you get two guys that's in the bottom of the lineup on base, Benintendi can knock you in. And he already has 40-plus RBIs right now. Where I've talked about the Killer Bees, Benintendi, Bogarts, Betts, Bradley Jr. Bradley Jr. is not playing well. But they do have Betts, who's still hurt. He has not been playing in the series against the Tigers. This is where, you know, this is tough for the Tigers. Now, the good thing is you get the Indians this weekend. So you can prove that, okay, we can probably win this division if you go ahead and beat the Indians. But you ain't beat no Boston team. You ain't beat no Yankees team. Yankees side of things, they're struggling against Toronto. They can get hot at any time. They can. Gary Sanchez, he's not hitting for average. He is a power guy. He's still a good catcher. I'm not even going to take anything away from him. I'm not going to be hard on him. He's, what, 23, 24 years old? Still young. Aaron Judge is young. Giancarlo's got to get it going. Aaron Judge is striking out a lot, though. That's a little issue for me, too. So, it's like, you face Chris Sale. Are you ready for that nasty slider? Are you ready for the two-seamer of Derek Price and Ricky P? Are you ready for that? Because all you got is Severino, honestly. I mean, Sonny Gray, he's been pitching well, so I will respect him. And when he gets into the postseason, he is money. Sonny Gray is money. We know that being from Detroit, and we had to face the Oakland A's in the playoffs, and he was going neck for neck with JV. And I was like, who is Sonny Gray? He's good. And I wish he had stopped. You know, that was me. You know, that's what I did. So, you know, the Yankees, I'm still a little iffy on my Yankees, Troy, but.
Yeah, tell me you don't say that.
Yeah, I say that every day, don't I? Honestly, I do. I'm sorry if I do.
Last year and the year before that, what happened the past 2 years for the Yankees? Did you at least get a title out of it? Yeah.
Well, we didn't get a title, but we could have. Okay, last year I was very hyped, but because we played the Twins, I'm like, okay, we're going to beat the Twins. Twins, you know, got here. A great story that they made it this year after being so bad 2 years ago. And then we play the Indians. I'm like, oh, we can beat the Indians. It'll be, and it's tough because I like, y'all know I love the Indians. For those that follow the show this long, y'all know I love the Indians. But then I was like, come on, y'all can beat the Astros. The Astros are so good. The year before, we just missed the playoffs. We were just not good. We were 4-70, but just not good enough to make the playoffs. And then we lose to the Astros in the wild card game. This is where we want to see the Astros for the third time. We want to see them. We haven't finished under 500 in years, but you know, when we get to the tough teams, we lost to the Tigers. We got swept by the Tigers in the ALCS. That's when the Tigers played the Giants. And we got swept. Beat the Orioles. Big time game. I thought it was going to be Orioles and the Tigers, but it was a good win for us. We gladly made it there with the lineup that we had. The lefties on lefties on lefties on lefties. The only righties was Jeter and A-Rod. Just lefty central. But our great right-hand hitters, and we couldn't be tight. Because of dang on Drew Smiley getting that great extra inning win, and then Anibal Sanchez, and then JV, and then Max Scherzer. I mean, golly, Troy, how could the Yankees beat that? How can the Yankees beat great pitching? How can they do it, Troy?
Same way you beat Max Scherzer, a hot bat.
Couldn't do it. Couldn't beat him on game four. And in a must-win situation, Tigers came into our town and spanked us, and then we had to go to Comerica, and good luck. Phil Choke got two saves. On us. I can't believe it. It reminds me of my team's always losing to the Detroit teams, Troy. What does that tell everybody, huh? I don't know. But interesting stuff. I need the Yankees to win. I'm hoping that happens. I was looking forward to some other things, whatever. Tomorrow, some early baseball. Big game, James against Jose Berrios. I think I'll watch that one. 1:10 start. Nick Pivetta against Tyler Chatwood. Maybe I'll watch that. It is the Phillies. It is the Cubs. I think that's just a sexy matchup. Dodgers and Pittsburgh again. 12:35 is the start. Good early baseball. And, Troy, you will be on when the Tigers and the Red Sox play. And, I mean, I hope the Cavs win. Because I will expect Troy to be very upset. Very upset.
Upset or understanding? Probably both.
I think you'd be upset. I mean, I would be upset if I was you. I really would be. Especially the outcome of the game. Cavs get blown out, I'll be upset. Oh, if I was you, I would really just go berserk.
I've heard this story before, though, but hey, I guess you're right.
Now, the French Open got postponed with the guys.
the Don Schwartzman have to resume tomorrow morning, 6 o'clock, going forward. Del Potro as well. Now, Nadal, he lost the first set, and I need him to lose the second set as well, because I know money would be, it'd be big-time money for Nadal to come back and win. Big-time money to have been won in that situation. So, that's something to look at for you guys. On the women's side, I'm going to continue to hype up Madison Keys, Sloane Stephens. I told you guys I would. Sloane Stephens is the favorite. I wouldn't be upset if Sloane Stephens was to lose. I am going to be pulling for both of these ladies going forward, because my girl has been eliminated, got out in straight sets. Sharapova, it is Muguruza. I have not seen her play yet, but I'm going to be all in tomorrow when she plays Halep. Because I have to see who this girl is. She beat Serena in the last tournament or whatever, and she beat Sharapova. So I got to see what's the skill set here. According to Vegas, this series is going to go three. It's going to go three sets. So according to Vegas. So there you go. I'm giving you over 2.5, and I'm giving you Simona plus 1.5. Take it or leave it. And I'm going to just take Sloane Stephens because Vegas feels like she should win. And she should. If she should win, she's going to. She already got a U.S. Open victory last year, and she's going to be defending that title. Wimbledon is July 2nd. I didn't mention that, on top of Power coming out July 1st, on top of free agency by First Choice. Wimbledon is July 2nd. So we have just a great start to July. Well, the 4th of July, too, Troy. So, let's get a little excited over July, huh?
Yes, indeed it is. As always, 10 times better around the holidays.
Yes, sir. So, there's just a lot of things to watch early tomorrow. I'm all in. I'm going to be keep an eye out on the Phillies and the Cubs here, because that could be the break up to my card, my bet card, because I have Pittsburgh plus 2. I bought some points. I have Phillies, though, plus 2.5. I did buy 1 point because I feel like the Cubs could get hot, but it is Aaron Nola, so I just felt safe with that. Also have the Astros beating Seattle today, so I'm feeling good here. I just need the Yankees to score. Give me a little breathing room. We'll see what happens with that. I picked 7 games, so I'm trying to be out on a good limb here. Have a good Thursday. I'm trying to have a good Thursday, you guys. So I'm going to enjoy my day off. Hopefully it's the rehearsal I'll be on. But if not, Troy will take over. And y'all call me on here because I'll tell y'all this. Anything you got to say, Troy?
Nope, guys. Just enjoy this game. Hopefully the Cavs win, and I will see you guys tomorrow around 7:30.
Yeah, Troy Beaver tomorrow. Yeah, and so be on the lookout for that. I got to give a shout-out to Tiffany Hayes. I did mention her on Twitter. I'm trying to get her in here, get her in the studio. I would love to talk to Tiffany Hayes. She has been amazing. I let her know just how amazing she's been. She improves every year in the league. She did it at UConn. She's done it for the Atlanta Dream. And Atlanta Dream, being able to beat the Connecticut Sun, I told you, Atlanta Dream is just one of those teams you just hate to face. Tiffany Hayes and Andrew McCautry, I mean, I get a little excited over that. That was a good game, too. I was like, oh, let's see if Connecticut Sun can do it. Atlanta's coming. So, you know, we'll see. Keep an eye out on WNBA stuff. Twisty
so guys. Right.
Yeah, man, it's going to be great. It ain't WNBA. Hold on. Before I get off here, I didn't even broadcast any WNBA. I know there's some games on tomorrow. Connecticut Sun and the Liberty. Oh, 4 o'clock game, the Lynx against the Mystics. That's a game to watch. I think that's – is that on NBA TV? I can't remember if that was on NBA TV. Did I say that one? I can't remember. But just keep your TV on, you know, for that. Keep keep it up. I think it is going to be a TV. 4 o'clock, I'm only going to assume. The Storm and the LA Sparks, good matchup as well. That's on ESPN, too. Now, that I know for sure. That's on ESPN, too. The Connecticut Sun and the Liberty is on your league pass, if you have it. This is going to be a great day tomorrow in sports. It's going to be a great weekend, so... I'll be on Friday for sure. Pittsburgh and the Cubs have a game at 2:20 on Friday, just in case Troy forgets to mention that. That is at 2:20. You know how Cubs games are on a Friday. It's kind of weird at 2:20, but, you know, we'll take it. And I'll get you through the weekend. Top games. Hopefully we do get ready for at least a game 5 on Monday for the Cavs. So, Troy, have a great show tomorrow. And you guys have a great evening.